Greg, did you have something you wanted to bring up?
No, why?
Oh, I didn't know if you brought something with you, if you had anything to, with the Skyward.
Is it general business?
Yeah, we're going to move on to general.
Talk a little bit about our interconnect. We're continually having problems with EchoLink. The problem is twofold. One is EchoLink is not running well on a Windows 10 computer. So I'm going to put a Windows 7 computer and give that a shot. Internet link to Rattlesnake has been poor. I don't know if you guys have any suggestions, but here's mine. It doesn't work well with Verizon for whatever reason. I believe Verizon has decommissioned a cell site over at the main tower location on the Radio Tower Road and are serving it from other sites. T-Mobile's no better, but we're going to put a FirstNet unit in there. AT&T has solid and fast data up at that point. So I think that combination will allow me to bring an EchoLink node back up there. We're serving it currently out of Ashton, Maryland on the link back from Washington.
So you can get a FirstNet?
I thought you
can get a FirstNet? I thought you had only special authorization to allow you to get a FirstNet.
No, I have FirstNet as an alpha volunteer.
Oh, okay.
FirstNet's more reliable there than even AT&T because most all the data that they're running is down on band 14, which is where FirstNet has priority. So, I get almost cable type speeds up there. So that's the way we're going to do that. And hopefully then we can bring the EchoLink computer back up here and get that up and running, for which people who use EchoLink can then have access. The downside there is having too much like stuff that the bulk of the users are in Harrisburg on the dot 11 down there, and I don't want to jam them up too much. I also don't want to be. I don't think I want to be in a position to be turning on and off that link, because as we get into some of the weather usage, I'd like it to be there all the time, so that there is on a moment's notice without requiring a control operator to bring up or down a link, such as link is. Link is actually, it's a crossband repeater. It's not a true backbone link. To have to turn it on if, we get into the, April 6th and there's some squalls lines coming through and they need to activate Skyborne quickly. I just want it to be there. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to have a control operator there to bring it up or down.
So, Norm, my ignorance, but activating Skyborne, what does that mean? Because during the snowstorms, and I'll be honest, during the snowstorms, I was trying to go on your link and I was trying to go on HF. They were just gap fests. They were not what I would consider an emergency communication thing. So I pretty much gave up because they were just talking about garbage.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that. First, I can address that. Yes, they're very active down there, but that comes under my use it or lose it feeling about amateur radio. If we have 10 megahertz with, 31 conversations a month on it, it's going to be gone, but that's right. For another day. Skyborne is something that is, I guess, formally in this area, and a lot of this is based on every National Weather Service office runs their Skyborne program differently. In the Midwest, where there's tornadoes and really violent weather, there is a very formal system of activating a Skyborne network, let's say out of NWS Norman, or out of Goodland, Kansas, or Dodge City, or some of those places. It's very formal. Here it is sort of like, there's severe weather here. The NWS says spotter activity may be needed, and it kind of happens. The guys in Harrisburg do sort of formal activation. They go on and say the Skyborne activation, Central Pennsylvania, Skyborne is now active. Please keep all transmissions to emergency or weather priority weather usage. They do that a couple of times a year.
Okay.
We haven't done it up here. My sense is, big snowstorms up here, people just kind of make do, It's not like DC where we would have, we can get that little ice storm we had here, and it would gridlock the beltway, and Skywarn would be activated to have amateurs carry emergency medical people like doctors and nurses to the hospital in four-wheel drive vehicles. Yeah, because up here, you know, yeah, it's a pain in the butt, but you know, life goes on. Okay. Down there, it's a little different. So I don't think there's a formal activation. Although, with that said, I would like to, I as an amateur radio operator, would like to have a more formal operation like that with Jonathan, the warning coordinating meteorologist at Jonathan Guzman, whose amateur call, I don't recall, it's a poor call that he got in Kentucky. But I'd like to have something more formal. But those guys, the Weather Service, with the COVID restrictions, of most of them, I would say two-thirds of the meteorologists are working from home. You know, they only have two or three people in the office up there, and maybe one or two on the middle Atlantic River forecast section on the other side of the wall. So we have never been able, we being the amateur community that's active in State College, with Jonathan, haven't really been able to formalize a sort of operation. We can't get in up there to operate the radio station. But my final comment would be, I would say there would be a formal activation of the VHF and UHF Skywarn networks here when the time comes that amateurs are able to access the Weather Service office and the radio setup.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would think at that time, I don't know when it'll be, but Jonathan at the Weather Service and Carmine and I, who informally sort of coordinate with them because we live right there. And you know, we're the first people who are retired and we can kind of get up there quickly. But I'd like to get some other hams involved in that when the time comes, who are familiar with the operation up there, who are known to the people up there for security purposes and can operate the radios there. I mean, that's not something that's proprietary to me, for God's sake. I believe in it, and we've invested some money and put up a good link here that seems to be working pretty good. And Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, the guys from Harrisburg run a Central Pennsylvania Skywarn weather net, and I encourage as many of you as possible to just check in. It's not particularly efficiently run. There is some rag chewing on there, but it's basically they'll call for county by county, they'll call you by call sign or any other stations in Clearfield or Blair or wherever, key up, give them a little bit of weather information, your temperature, your cloud cover, if your barometer, whatever info you have, participate, you know, be active. It's a resource there for everybody to use.
I've been doing it. I've been doing it pretty much.
In the last snowstorm, I got in on HF to
Pittsburgh.
Were they in the office, or was there someone?
I think it might have been somebody else taking the reports and relaying.
Yeah, I don't. I assumed that the access to the Weather Service office.
But he was using their call.
They were using WGH.
Yep. They're using that call. But he probably allowed to do that.
3939 or something? 3939 or something?
Yeah, it was up there somewhere.
See, I mean, I have permission to use their call if I'm relaying weather traffic.
Okay.
I guess I could. I have WX3CTP.
Yeah, that's who I reported to, because I didn't know anybody was checking. I didn't know if Carmine was monitoring or not.
I keep it up. I mean, it's busier than the other repeaters because .11 is busy in Harrisburg.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they do a lot down there. There are guys that set up crossbands, and you know, so the fellow that works down there at the nuclear plant he gets in with a walkie from his office when he's working down there at Peach Bottom? Isn't that the nuclear plant in York County? Yeah, he works down there and he crossbands at his car radio to go into .11. I mean, they do things and they experiment and they're having fun and,
Greg, I think The point that Jason raised about the perception of like rag chewing going on when there's like a storm event or something. There was another member of this club who I think he said he's taken like 3 different Skywarn classes and things, was pretty gung-ho with it. And he kind of got turned off by that too, and he said he's kind of going to go by the wayside with that. And I think maybe, you know, if you want to maybe shape people's expectations a little bit, because you said some things here that maybe should get out to a wider audience, I'd be happy to put anything on the website if you want. I could even create a section on there about Skywarn if you'd like, and sort of help shape people's expectations of what it is and how their contribution matters, that sort of thing.
Because I think the rag chew is fine during a normal time, because I agree, if you don't use it, they're going to take it. But it was during a storm, right? That, and maybe it was just because the storm was up here, and not, maybe it wasn't in Harrisburg, that we were trying to, I was thinking that that's where I would go to report, but it was like, it
you know,
was just,
well, a good point. My mind's kind of cranking through this now. Are you talking about the ice storm or that snow storm?
It's a snowstorm.
So that snowstorm, I was in Hawaii. So we were out at Kona for a couple of weeks.
We had like 45 inches of snow an hour.
Yeah, yeah. I know. You know, I gathered that when I came back. And I
mounted.
but you know, we can have as an amateur community, which means everyone in here and some of the folks over at NARC and in the different counties here,
Carmine was trying to organize it.
Yeah.
I mean, but
normally I would say that normally the Skywarn operations in this area should probably be on the 146.85 NARC repeater, which is W3, is that GA or YA?
YA.
Because that has true wide coverage, you know. And then whoever's the control operator or network operator there could relay the information in. The 443.425 is here more as educational and as the link to Harrisburg, so that when there's really a wide area weather event, that we have that Chester County to Clearfield, you know, covered. We can always break the link off. Mm-hmm.
I think that needs to be put in writing. I think there ought to be like a user guide for Center County, Clearfield County, Skywarn.
And let me expand on that, because I've talked to Carmine. I would like to convene, either by Zoom or ideally in person, maybe at the end of March or something like that, the ECs, from each of the counties in the Weather Service warning area, a meeting to decide how we want to coordinate the transition, how we want to coordinate the movement of information between the amateur community and the Weather Service. And we could have Jonathan on there. You know, I mean, it's not just these counties. It's Clinton and Blair. Bedford has an active group down there, a BCARS group. But there is, as I understand it, and there's a ARRL or there's a PEMA type emergency coordinator in each county. And we can do a meeting of those people to set up how we're going to operate this thing. You know, kind of set up a, when we go with wide area, when it's a weather event that's basically limited to one or two counties, mm-hmm. how we report, because it's very informal. It's extremely informal.
Okay.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah.
I'd be all for that. You know, get together and then report the one and then back.
Yeah, have a process set up on how, because you want to grow, my interest is above and beyond, and everyone's interest is in protecting people, but I want to grow amateur involvement in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my kind of personal goal in the whole thing. And I think that it's you know, extremely informal now. Extremely.
Yeah.
Harrisburg's the most formal of the group. Bedford County has a formal group. And I don't know if you ever listen up there to the Lycoming. I think it's 145.33, and there's another town that has a link repeater up there. They're fairly formal.
Okay.
Yeah, having a net.